Hey, I'm Simon May. I'm Microsoft's only enterprise device infrastructuralist, which means that I build the infrastructure that enables mobile devices to actually work in today's modern world. I'm going to be covering Azure Active Directory. So we're going to take a look at some of the reason that architecture really matters when we're thinking about how you're going to build AD going forward. We're also going to be looking at things like Active Directory Federation and connecting up with the AD Sync service to Azure AD. And then finally, we'll take a look at some of the cool new features that we can do inside of Azure AD. Things like multi-factor authentication and also things like web application proxy, which allows you to take something on-premises, like a website, and securely publish it out onto the internet with pre-authentication. We're going to take a look at those in my session. The one thing you're going to take away from my session is why it really matters to think about the architecture that you are going to be putting in place for your Azure Active Directory. So, something you don't know about me, I moved to the US not too long ago, bought a massive car that I thought was going to be a really great idea and gets really terrible gas mileage, but it is quite a lot of fun to drive every single day.
Hey, look at that, we're back.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us once again. This is, if you're following us live, the fourth and final day of this lovely exercise known as Level Up Azure IaaS for IT Pros events. It's been a lot of fun. My name is Rick Claus, your host for the last couple of days. At @RicksterCDN, just in case you wanted to follow me on Twitter after that. You know what? We've got a lot of really cool stuff. We're kind of transitioning today in these next couple of sessions away from a pure IaaS environment and into a little bit more of the world of complementary services, of platform as a service, and then also some actual implementations of bigger end workloads like SharePoint as an example on the IaaS platform. So cool stuff lined up for today. Make sure you stay tuned for all of them. If you're joining us in replay mode because you didn't happen to catch us live, make sure you go back and take a look at the other sessions that came up and are now available on channelline.msdn.com, where we covered a whole range of topics from introductory what is the foundation of IaaS down into some supporting services like storage and networking. And then obviously yesterday was a big hit with our conversation around open source software, Linux and Linux workloads. So very, very cool stuff. I will mention that yesterday on the Linux side of things, we managed to get through it all. It was very, very awesome. We introduced some technologies around containerization, which was new for a lot of IT Pro audience members, how to manage Linux units at scale using things like Chef and Puppet, and then also deployment at scale. And the big little simple summary of that particular day was simply that any of the technologies that work on the Windows workloads work as first-class citizens on the Linux workloads as well. I will mention I had a little note in my ear a little while ago about the registration and the ability, if you're watching this live, to get a discount coupon code to be able to take an exam for 533 exam for Azure IaaS infrastructure exam. If this is live and you're watching this now, you do have to register. If you go to aka.ms/levelupazure, scroll down to the bottom of that post and you'll see a button that says register. As long as you register before the end of this live stream in about 4 hours time, you will be able to be included in that mass email that goes out after the event to be able to get that discounted exam voucher. If you watch this in replay mode, unfortunately it doesn't apply, but good luck and try out that exam. It's going to be actually very, very cool on 533. All the sessions will be up, usually so far within 6 hours, although our official SLA is 24 hours to 48 hours for after the live stream event is done. All the content's there. We're in final stages of finally wrangling all the slide decks to be included with all the different sessions, so they'll be included as well in the not too distant future. And then finally, we are taking questions throughout the morning and throughout the next four sessions. There's a form at the bottom of the player if you're watching live on the web. We can go off and make some comments and also ask some questions. If you leave us your Twitter handle and such, we'll make sure that we can get back to you as well after the fact. And then finally, if you are using Twitter, we're using the hashtag #LevelUpAzure. I've got it monitored here while the speaker's going off and talking about their different sessions, and I'll interject at different points of time to be able to get those questions asked just as fast as we can. Now with that, I want to ask if I could just introduce my friend. Actually, you've already been introduced.
Yeah, that was the video, right?
What's your name again? You're Simon, right?
Yeah, I'm Simon. Okay. Yeah, that's right. I may have been in this studio before.
I think you might have been here before. Yeah. This is one of my colleagues, Simon May, who's graciously accepted to give us a nice IT Pro view on the concepts and things around identity services up in the Azure platform. So again, these are complementary type services.
Yeah, and it's one of those things which
I think the whole week has been about IaaS and how IaaS work. Well, there's certain times where IaaS isn't actually exactly what you want to be doing. This is one of those times with Azure AD. So, kind of interesting stuff.
Well, you know what? I'm going to get out of your way, man, and just remind people again, we are taking questions in case you have to have any on Twitter with hashtag LevelUpAzure. Also, well, he won't be able to see it because he's doing the demos, but you can reach him at @SciMonster, and I'm @RicksterCDN. So
yeah,
go ahead,
cool.
man.
So yeah, tour. Azure AD. Sometimes you want to do things inside of an IaaS instance. So sometimes you'll want to build a domain controller, put that up into Azure inside of IaaS, but it's not always the exact right thing to do. And part of the reason for that is that actually AD wasn't really designed to be run in the public cloud. It works perfectly okay, you can run your domain controllers there. But if we start to think about the way that the world has changed since we actually introduced AD back in, 2000 or so, that's actually seen quite a lot of change in the way that not only devices work, but also the way that applications work and want to interact with an identity platform. As a result, and to make things as scalable as possible, the Azure AD team rebuilt AD inside of the cloud, and it's a completely custom way of building Azure and Active Directory. It's not just some domain controllers running up in the cloud. It's a completely different approach, and that allows us to do things like RESTful access to the APIs inside of Azure AD, which is useful because new applications, things that are built for a SaaS application architecture world, actually expect to be able to work in a RESTful way. They don't expect to be able to do synchronous communications with Active Directory all the time. So one of the nice things about the fact that we have rebuilt Azure AD is the fact that actually it lives out there as an entity that you can just go and consume. So when you go into the Azure portal, you can go and create yourself a new directory, or you can take an existing directory on premises and have it synchronize up to what is, in essence, a software as a service approach to Azure, to AD, rather. And because it's got that software as a service approach and it is taking those synchronized logons from your own on-premises directories, one of the really cool things about the platform is that we've built it for massive, massive scale. And as a result, that massive scale, just to give you an idea, does around about 18.5 billion authentications per week. Yes, that was billion with a B, not million with an M. So yeah, 18.5 billion applications are getting their authentications as people are signing in every single week. So kind of a huge number, not something that we could probably scale to, or any of us have actually scaled to, with our on-premises domain controllers. So kind of a different approach to building the entire thing. However, why do we do it? Well, essentially it's to provide identity in the cloud so that we can have access to our applications that are talking to that cloud. How do we do it? Well, the very first thing that we want to do is get our on-premises identities off of our on-premises domain controllers. We want to have them synchronizing with Azure AD.
Can I jump in for one second?
Yeah.
Because we had a question that came up obviously right away from Bill, who was simply asking probably the obvious question. We're calling this Azure AD.
Yeah.
Can it basically and essentially replace my on-premises AD if I've got a bunch of different people in a bunch of different places?
Like,
can it work as a traditional domain controller as far as Azure AD is concerned?
No. So that's the blunt answer to that is no.
That's good.
It's a good way of doing it. The way that we actually have to think about AD is what kind of services is it providing?
Mm-hmm.
First one is authentication. What are we authenticating? Well, people logging onto their PCs. Can we do that today from Azure AD? No. Why can't we? Well, actually Windows doesn't support being able to do that. Windows 10 will support being able to sign into a PC from Azure AD. You'll be able to use Azure AD credentials, and you'll get much the same capabilities that you do with a Microsoft account. So when you sign in with your @outlook.com address into Windows 10, actually, it'll be much like signing into @contoso.com, and you'll actually have some of the same capabilities, like synchronized information across multiple devices. Very, very cool. Can it do things like group policy? No, and that's slightly because the world changed as well around these things. So devices now aren't necessarily all Windows for a start, and a non-Windows device just doesn't understand group policy. So we have to have something slightly different, and that's where the management aspect comes in. Group policy really is a management tool. It's a device and user management tool, and that's where in the device management world we start to use the OMA DM, the open management capabilities that the platforms actually all have baked into them now, including Windows 8 and Windows 10. So kind of cool, but it's going to be a slightly different approach. What this allows us to do, though, is to be able to sign into lots of applications with our on-premises credentials, because we can synchronize our on-premises credentials up to Azure AD. And Adam's asking a question here about are AD federation services available inside of Azure? Well, kind of an interesting question to answer. One of the really cool capabilities of Azure AD is that it allows us to connect out to other applications, and I'll come onto that a little later. In a very, very similar way, it allows us to do very easy federation with other applications. And you can actually use Azure AD as an STS, as a federation source, and it can work with existing ADFS environments that you're running on-prem. As a separate aside, you could also run ADFS inside of Azure IaaS instances. You have to really follow the best practice there in order to do that correctly. You need to actually do things like move an Active Directory domain controller into Azure as well, so that you've got redundancy and so that things can continue to authenticate at all times. So if you want to directly move ADFS up into Azure, yes, it's possible, but you really need to go and read that documentation fully. Azure AD can do some of the ADFS functionality for you, which is exactly where we're going to get to. So the very first thing that we've got on screen at the moment is identity considerations. Do you go cloud? Do you go sync? Do you go federated?
But so you have nothing on the screen except for a white screen.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Because we're going to slowly introduce them.
So there we go.
The very first one is just to have all of your identities up inside of Azure AD. That's kind of useful for some people. So if you're a relatively small business or a new business, then you might want to consider this approach. Say you go and take Office 365, you're automatically going to get an Azure AD instance stood up behind the Office 365 instance. As a result of that, if you're a smaller business, that might be all you need. You might only need people to be able to sign into their Office 365 accounts. However, for the majority of people, you're probably going to want to go with a synchronized approach. So in that case, what we do is we put a sync server in your on-premises environment. And that's going to take selected items from your on-premises environment and move them up into Azure AD. And I'll go through a little demo in a few minutes of exactly how we can do that and some of the capabilities that we have inside of that sync service. Then the third option is actually, maybe you're one of the more cloud reluctant people. You want people to actually have all of their authentication still running through an on-premises environment. And that's fine too. You can do that. You can actually have the sync service synchronizing the accounts up to Azure AD. And then when somebody wants to do a sign-on, they'll actually hit your on-premises ADFS servers. It just means you've got to stand up a little bit more infrastructure. If you don't go down the federated route, then very simply, we can sync password hashes up to Azure as well, and down from Azure, because people can do password changes up there. And that allows us to have a world where you don't necessarily need the ADFS infrastructure, unless you're federating with a very custom third party, you have it in place already, or you really do want to make sure that all of that authentication happens on premises. So let's, and there's a fourth option as well, which is the idea of federated identity. One organization federating with another. Well, actually, we've got some capabilities now inside of Azure AD that allow us to make that a little bit easier, but you may still want to use just the standalone federated model in that particular set of circumstances. So let's start thinking about how we're going to do this. Well, the very first option, just doing a common identity with sync, is pretty easy. We just have to stand up the Azure Active Directory sync service in our on-premises environment. This used to be something that we called dirsync. So if you're an Office 365 customer, you've probably already implemented dirsync in order to be able to synchronize your IDs from on-premises up into Azure AD. Inside of the federated world, what you'd have to stand up is the sync service, and then you would also have to stand up ADFS. So that's a couple of roles inside of Windows Server 2012, and Windows Server 2012 makes it really easy to go and deploy ADFS. You also have to stand up a second role inside of Windows Server 2012, in addition to the ADFS server, the web application proxy role inside of Windows Server 2012. You can actually, though, use any version of ADFS that we've ever produced and currently support. So there's actually about three versions in market at the moment which are currently completely still supported and allow you to be able to do that federated sign-on. So let's take a look at actually setting up the Azure AD Sync service. And the reason I'm going to do this is not because it's like it's a little click-through wizard. It's kind of obvious, but it does show you some of the important things that we're actually doing along the way to make the process more, I guess the word would be trustworthy for people. So let's take a quick look at setting up the Sync service. So
I'm going to hold you to a couple of those questions that are up on the screen when you're
ready. I know you are.
Just so you know.
I am just waiting.
Hang on there, Lewis and Phil. We're getting to you, buddies.
Okay, so let's move to one of my other machines. That's my Azure AD tenant. So let's go into this machine just here. Let's go to my Sync server. So this is a server which I've just literally configured for as a standalone server on-prem, and it's going to do my sync. So very first thing I'm going to do is start the directory sync tool. And that's going to obviously run elevated and start up the wizard process in just a second. There we go. Okay, so the very first thing it does is it's asking me for my Azure AD global administrator credentials. So a global admin inside of Azure AD is one of the roles, and it's actually the first account that you create inside of Azure AD will be given the global admin role. So it's going to ask me for my username and password. It's already pulling back details from a server that's been set up already, so it's going to know what those are. It's also going to go off and just check that they work. Then the very first really powerful thing with Azure AD Sync comes into place here, which is the ability to take multiple forests and bring them back together. So imagine a situation where you've got Contoso and you've got Fabricam. Some folks from Contoso have been working for Fabricam for quite some time. They've got some user accounts set up inside of the Fabricam forest. But then Contoso decides to go and acquire Fabricam. What then happens? Well, all of your Contoso users need to log on. All of your Fabricam users need to be able to log on to the services. And also, you've got duplicate user accounts in both domains or in both forests. So Azure AD allows us to simplify that. It allows us to actually bring together a couple of forests into one single set of user accounts. And that's exactly what it's going to do. It's going to go through each forest that I've added in this case, and I'm going to add it in with the Active Directory domain admin creds. We'll say next. Then it's going to say, how do we want to uniquely identify the users across both directories? Well, the very first thing that obviously we're going to use here is that we're going to use our mail attributes in order to do that, because the chances are that even though that we've set users up inside of both domains, there's probably something unique about their email address. Or if there's not, we can actually add it. And in fact, we could even go as far as adding our own attribute to Active Directory, the on-premises Active Directories, in order to allow us to bring that information together. So we're going to say next at this point, having decided exactly how we're going to do that. In this case, we're going to do it on the object GUID and the user principal name. And then it gives us the ability to turn on some optional features for AD Sync. The first thing is if you're going to do an Exchange hybrid deployment, so you're implementing something with Office 365, you still have existing on-premises Exchange servers, that's where you're going to be ticking that first box. The next option, password write-back. This is really cool, frankly. This is an amazing feature. What it means is that once somebody has authenticated themselves to Azure AD, they can change the password at Azure AD, and it will then synchronize with the password on-premises for them. And you can do this even if you're going to be implementing ADFS, because we can actually have the synchronized password hash as a fallback in case you get an outage in your ADFS environment. Kind of cool, kind of nice little backup approach to be able to have. And then finally, we can enable Azure AD app and attribute filtering. So I'm going to tick this because this gives us a bunch of extra information, and it's really, really, really useful to be able to see. The very next thing, I can say that I want to restrict the list of applications that are going to be synchronizing, that we're going to take the attributes that we need for those applications and synchronize them into Azure AD. Why would we want to do this? Well, some folks have had some concerns about the amount of information that they're synchronizing into a public cloud service. The more that we talk to people about this, the more those concerns go away. But some people might, for example, only want to be using Azure AD for authentication for Windows Intune. Well, what happens if I tick just Intune and go next? Actually, what it does is it shows me all of the restricted attributes that I'm going to be then sending up to my Azure Active Directory from my on-premises domain.
And these ones aren't restricted. These ones are going to be included.
Yeah, these are the ones that are included. Right. So it's not going to tell you the thousands of attributes right. that you're not going to send. It is going to just tell you the ones that you want to send. It also lets me limit this further. And when I go to limit further, what I actually see is that some of these attributes are nice to haves, but not essential. So for example here, account enabled is an essential one. I still can't change that. But this C attribute, I can turn on or off. So it's now allowing me to be really granular about the information that I'm sending up to Azure Active Directory. And what you'll see, in fact, is that what we really need for Windows Intune is three individual attributes, and that's it. So we could do exactly that. However, I'm going to go back and I'm going to turn everything back on. So you can see that we've automatically built into the wizard all of the common applications that are Microsoft applications which use Azure AD for authentication. Say next on this point. Oops. Allow all of those attributes. Again, it's going to tell me everything that's going to be synchronized, and we can see it's a pretty extensive list for everything that I'm about to do. I hit next, and next again, and then we can hit finish to synchronize the directories at this point. So we'll do that, we'll let it synchronize.
So what I see here is complete and total administrative control over which attributes of the objects the local on-premises IT administrator has the ability to control going up and synchronizing with Active Directory.
Absolutely.
Azure Active Directory.
Azure Active Directory, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then ultimately, Azure Active Directory becomes a source that can be used to authenticate against software as a service type applications.
Yeah.
Just to kind of simplify this down from all the big talk we've just had so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll also be able to, going forward, use it to sign onto Windows.
Okay.
Which is going to be kind of cool.
That's actually one of the questions that came up just here. Just let's clarify. So Lewis was asking, could you clarify, will Windows 10 only use Azure Active Directory and not on-premises Active Directory?
No. That's it. Again, we'll do the really simple
answer. It's not removing domain controllers from your environment.
No,
this
not
is
at
simply
all.
An option that people could use with a non-domain joined device.
Yeah, one of the pieces of feedback that we had on Windows 8.1 was that we heard really loud and clear was that you guys didn't actually like your users signing on with an @outlook.com, an @live.com address onto their Windows PC.
Why not?
Yeah, who would worry about that? Yeah. So we've actually changed that, and we've made it so that you can now, well, in the future, you'll be able to sign into Windows 10 with an Azure AD set of credentials. So it's going to make things a little bit more interesting, probably more simple. It's probably going to increase the number of authentications that Azure AD is doing from 18 plus billion to a few more. So yeah, it's kind of a new improvement. It doesn't mean that you get rid of your on-premises Active Directory in any way, shape, or form.
So we had another question here from Jerome, which was asking for the requirements to run directory synchronization of DirSync. I mean for the user that runs the actual sync program.
Like
can any administrator on the on-premises environment set up DirSync?
So the way that I've just done it, you do actually need to have administrative access to your Active Directory, and you need to be able to write back to Active Directory. But that doesn't mean you have to be able to do everything. There's a nice, fairly long document which lists exactly everything that you need to have assigned to the account, which is going to be used as your directory synchronization service account.
It sounds like for the ability to install it and to configure it, it sounds like an enterprise admin style level of access, not just your regular domain admin access, because it's forced wide, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Would Azure Active Directory work as a disaster recovery for your on-premises AD? And you kind of already answered that one. That was from Phil.
Yeah.
Because this doesn't replace your on-premises Active Directory for authentication purposes, for being able to do group policy, to be able to do other things along those traditional lines.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. It depends, kind of answer.
It's kind of like a supplemental service.
Yeah. It's going to be adding stuff on top. So could it work as DR for on-prem AD? Not out of the box. But when we get to, say, Windows 10 and we do sign with Windows 10 into Azure AD, potentially there could be an option to have something in place there. Certainly the ability to be able to do password hash sync in addition to ADFS for sign-on, that is definitely a way of having a disaster recovery solution in place around ADFS connections. Yeah.
And I love Stu's question, and this is, again, we don't want to be talking about future-looking things too much in this sort of one here, but Stu is asking, can I set up a new company with no Active Directory on-premises at all and all my assets and resources in Azure using Azure Active Directory for all of my needs? That's a very large, encompassing question there,
huge
Stu.
Huge question. And the answer today, I would say, is probably not. I think it'd be a really nice idea to be able to do that, but if you're thinking about people just being able to sign into, say, their Office 365 environment, yeah, you probably could do that. Today, if you're thinking about somebody being able to sign into Windows, that means signing into Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 8.1. That's not going to be possible. So we need to kind of think about exactly the approach there. And if you're thinking about group policy, well, that's the time to be looking at the capabilities of Microsoft Intune in order to be able to do some of that.
And I also want to clarify what we're talking about now, just in case everyone is now up to speed. We're not talking about a domain controller running on IaaS in a hybrid connected, gateway connected Azure subnet, or VNet to be exact, which is a domain controller. That is fully supported. You can absolutely do that. And that would act like a traditional domain controller, but that is not Azure Active Directory.
No.
That is simply a domain controller up in the cloud that has a connection back to your on-premises environment with a site-to-site VPN. This is not what we're talking about. This is Azure Active Directory, which is authentication services.
Yeah. Great question again from Rug5. I'm running the old DirSync now.
Yeah.
Is it easy to upgrade and switch? You know what? When they were building this, they decided that they wanted to make it as hard as possible for anybody to do an upgrade. I'm kidding. No, we've made it really easy. There's actually a document on TechNet, really simple to follow. The process is actually what I've done on this particular server here. So this server was running DirSync before, and actually I've replaced that with Azure Active Directory Sync service. And it was pretty simple. It took me about 20 minutes to run through that. In my environment, I have a very easy environment. I have a couple of domain controllers. I have one sync server doing all my synchronization. So it was kind of simple for me. There's a ton of information on TechNet about how to go through and do exactly that step-by-step upgrade.
How about we do one last one, then we'll continue on here just with Jim asking about filtering of objects as opposed to doing the whole kit and caboodle of your Active Directory, only doing a small section.
So that's today, no. As you just saw me run through the wizard there, there was nothing inside of the Azure AD Sync service which actually allowed me to filter out specific accounts or particular groups from my environment. However, we just released into preview something called MIM, Microsoft Identity Manager, which is...
don't know if that's the final name or not.
Yeah, it's a new acronym, and it's actually the replacement for Forefront Identity Manager. And that allows me to be a lot more granular around exactly what's happening. So
that's another whole topic.
It's another whole
discussion.
Yeah. It's literally just entered preview. It actually has some really cool things around being able to do privileged access management and other stuff. But it's just in preview. Just wanted to explain the production services at the moment. So take a look at that.
Good stuff.
So one last thing while we're having a quick look at exactly what's happening here. Inside of our AD Sync environment, what's actually happened is we've set up a scheduled task, in fact, which is now going to run every 3 hours to do my synchronization of my on-premises AD up into Azure AD. Why every 3 hours? Well, actually, we've worked out that's a pretty good time. Can you change it? Yes, you totally can change that. So that's okay. There's also another synchronization process that happens. When somebody changes a password, or when you block an account, when you do anything like that, that synchronization happens within about 2 minutes. So you can expect that once you've blocked an account on-prem, that user is going to be not able to sign on from any cloud application, say Office 365, within about 2 minutes. So very, very handy. Having it as a scheduled task, or a scheduled task if you're English, makes it a lot easier to manage than with ADFS. Sorry, than with DirSync. So let's go back to the slides for a moment and move on to the very next topic. One of the things that I've always thought is rather cool about Azure AD is that it's global. Your directories probably aren't that global. One of the nice things about AD is it's this global point of presence. On premises, you kind of had to build out a lot of infrastructure to make that happen. You'd have to have multiple data centers in multiple geographies with multiple internet pipes, multiple servers. It started to become very difficult very quickly. Azure AD is automatically that global presence. So what does that allow us to do? Well, it allows us to look at, monitor what's being used inside of Azure AD. So when somebody signs on from, as you can see on this slide, when somebody signs on from somewhere in South America, and then almost immediately signs on from somewhere in Eastern Europe, that's probably gonna twig to one or two people going, huh, is there a flight that can take me between those two locations that quickly?
They jumped on one of the new S2 stealth things or
yeah,
whatever it was.
They've got some kind of time machine
Mach
in order
17.
To be able to, yeah, it's kind of telling you that they're doing something that's a little bit impossible. So We actually have a ton of capabilities inside of AD in order to be able to do this, and inside of Azure. We have something called the Azure Machine Learning Service, and that allows us to actually use machine learning to build up patterns of what people are doing. So one of the cool things that we can do, in addition to just being able to say, hey, this person has traveled between these two locations, we can also say, what this person has done today is out of pattern for what they would normally do on this day. So, for example, if I normally sign on from Redmond every morning at 9 a.m, and then I suddenly sign on from just down the street at 9:01, and I'm on a completely different type of device, something that I've never used before in my past 2 years of work history inside of the company, that's actually going to tell Azure that something might be slightly off with that person. It should be something that IT should go and investigate. It could also be that they sign on from multiple locations very quickly. They're just doing things out of pattern. So we're actually able to build up a user usage pattern inside of Azure AD. And then we can alert you as the IT admin that that's happened.
So they can literally figure this out, that I signed on with my new phone that I just got.
Yeah.
And because it's out of normal parameters, that potentially a flag, just as a cautionary flag, not a deny access thing, but like a cautionary
flag.
Yeah,
just a cautionary flag to say, hey, this is something.
That is freaking granular, man. I love that.
Well, we can actually do something even cooler. And this is really, really amazing.
There's more.
Yeah, there's more. There's a bunch of guys over in a building here on campus, the Security Response Center. What they're actually doing is they're looking at all of the exhaust traffic from all of the anti-malware products that we've got in place. So if you're using ConfigMan, you may well have anti-malware in place from what used to be Forefront. That information is being taken in by the Security Response Center, cataloged in databases, and then we can crash that with your user logon information. What can we say? Well, we can say, hang on, one of your users just signed on from a device which we've seen has been previously infected with malware. You might want to go and investigate that to make sure that they're not signing on from a device which is still infected with malware. That's the kind of information that we can provide back to you. It's the kind of information which is completely impossible to do in your own on-premises Active Directory. There's just no way of being able to crunch that kind of massive amount of data. So it allows us to have some very, very useful options. Of course, the only thing that's useful about giving you that level of insight is being able to allow you to take some level of action over that insight very quickly. So what we have in place is the ability to, within a couple of clicks, actually turn on multi-factor authentication. So in that case, we can say, hey, that user's just done something which is out of their normal usage pattern. Let's just make sure that they really are who they say they are. Let's turn on multi-factor authentication, and let's use their mobile phone as their authentication device. Now, the next time that somebody attempts to sign on with that account, they're going to actually be sent a phone call that's going to have require them to enter a code or just accept the phone call and provide details to say that, hey, I'm not a robot. Very, very useful for the prevention of your accounts being broken into via any means at all, really. So let's take a look at that process in place and actually set it up for a couple of our users. I'm going to move back to my virtual machines. I'll go away from my sync server. I'll go to my admin server for a second. Here you can see that I'm actually looking at all of the directories that I'm managing inside of my Azure account. And I'm going to find my fake URL USA directory. Okay, this is showing me the console for my directory. Let's just take a quick run through some of these things. First off, we can see our users. So we can see all of the user accounts that I've got on-prem that have been synchronized with my Active Directory. I can then see all the groups, exactly the same thing. See all of the groups that have been synchronized. I can go into applications. We'll come to that in a few moments' time. Domains allows me to take a DNS domain name and actually add that to my Azure AD. So I might add contoso.com, or in my case, I've added dx.msftlabs.com. Directory integration lets me turn on and off directory synchronization with my on-premises environment. And configure lets me configure individual aspects of my directory. I can then go into reporting. And from reports, I can see some of this information about the the anomalous activity that's been going on. So let's go to irregular sign-in activity first. This is the report that's going to tell us that people have been doing things that we didn't really expect them to be doing. So in this case, we can see that Heidi has signed on from a couple of locations. So she's doing atypical sign-ins. And we can view a little bit more information about them. Let's actually go back to another report. We're going to have a look at the users with sign-ins from multiple geographies. Hopefully, again, Heidi's going to appear in this particular report. And somebody else does as well. This guy's obviously been been doing some nefarious things.
Mr. Morgan, what's he
doing?
Yeah,
what's he been doing?
He's Dubai, Redmond.
Yeah, he's been signing
Frankfurt.
On all over the place. That's, yeah. Anyway, let's have a quick look at Heidi here. What we can see first is that the first sign-on that she did was from somewhere called LR. Not actually entirely sure where LR is.
Yeah.
But the second sign-on that she had came in from Redmond. The estimated travel time, we know the flying time for every location in the world. We estimate that that's going to take 18 hours to fly between those two locations. Of course, what we can see here is that Heidi did that flight in 1 minute 46. That's pretty suspicious already.
It's that new jet plane
yeah,
I'm talking about.
It's that special new plane. We can also see that she went between Frankfurt and Zurich. That's supposed to take her an hour, and she did it in 1 minute 19 seconds. So something is looking a little bit wrong with Heidi's account at this point. Let's go back here and have a look at another report. We're going to see the sign-ins from IP addresses with suspicious activity. Hopefully, in this case, we're going to see something again for Heidi. Not something... Oh, no, she's actually not going to appear in this report. So, we can see that Heidi has been moving between multiple locations very quickly. Can we go and do something about it? Let's go into her multiple geographies report again. We'll scroll past all of international jet set traveller Morgan's locations, and let's find Heidi's. Then right down at the bottom of the screen, we have Manage Multi-Factor Auth. So I'm going to go ahead and click that. It's going to take me into the Multi-Factor Auth portal. Just takes a couple of seconds to load. There we go. And here we can see all of my Active Directory users who have been synchronized with my Azure AD. So if I go and find Heidi's account, I just tick this box and hit Enable. And we'll say Enable Multi-Factor Authentication. And hey, it was successful. Now, the very next time that Heidi wants to sign on, she's going to have to do a multi-factor auth.
And again, this is different than signing on to just her workstation in a regular work environment.
Absolutely.
This is accessing different services or devices that are managed by this, correct?
Yeah, completely. So she could walk into an internet cafe. She can go and grab a PC, which she's never usually used. Let's go and grab this PC just here. And Heidi's going to go and attempt to get to her company applications. We'll sign her on. Yeah, let's close that down for a moment. And open up a new Internet Explorer. Okay, so Heidi's going to go and sign on to an application here. Let's go and sign on with a different account. Ba-ba-ba. HEIDI at URLUSA.on.
I want to know how you know Heidi's password and user ID. Is she sharing this information with you?
Only on weekends. And let's type in her password. Okay, then the very first thing it does, it says, hey, help us to protect your account. Your admin has required that you set up multi-factor authentication. So let's go and set that up.
I like how there's no option except to go ahead and start the setup.
Yeah, it's only go ahead and do this. So now we enter a phone number and we say next. I'm going to just click next really quickly there, my actual phone number. And then we'll hit verify now. So that's going to move through. We could have made it so that we'd take Heidi's details just from Azure AD, not allow her to enter a password. But you know what? Every so often, I do this demo in multiple locations and I have to change my phone number. So I always make it so it's possible. I'm now receiving a phone call on my mobile device. I'll say answer.
You can't see this because the camera's not out.
Microsoft sign-in verification system.
There we go.
Please press the pound key to finish your verification. If you deny...
Okay.
Your account has been verified. Goodbye.
So we've just verified the account and now the sign-in is going to just completely run through behind me. Or on screen at the moment, it's just going to run through. It's going to say, hey, yeah, we just verified this account. Let's just make sure everything's okay. Done. Verification successful. And that's going to get me into the application. Voila. There we go. I've got access to my applications. And it's also asking me to do a self-service password reset verification immediately as well. So let's go ahead and do that. We've actually turned this on from our Active Directory as well. So we'll say that we need to, again, verify the phone number. This will then cause a phone call to occur. So I'll say call me again. So you can see that we're using the MFA service in multiple locations. We're now allowing somebody to do verified self-service password reset. Again, I've received the phone call, and I'll just very quickly press the pound key and get myself through that process. In this case, for doing a self-service password reset, we're going to ask for multiple factors. So we're going to go ahead and send an email, not to Heike, but to myself. And that's going to send an email with a unique code to me. Once I've gone through that process, providing the unique code back, I then get into a position where, from this point forward, I'll be able to reset my own password inside of Azure AD, and that password will automatically get reflected in the on-premises directory because of password writeback through Azure AD Sync. So things are starting to tie together.
Take a quick question here from Jason. Can multi-factor authentication be used on a per-service offering? Example, yes for CRM, but no for Office 365. Or is this simply you turn this on for the entire suite of applications that are available to the Azure Active Directory synced user?
You would turn it on for everything that the user is going to use. But for example, in all of those examples there, for Office 365, you would be using Azure AD anyway.
Yeah.
For CRM, for Dynamics, if you're using Dynamics in the cloud, you're going to be using Azure AD anyway.
Correct.
So either which way, you've only got one directory in the background. If you were using on-premises software, so you're using the on-premises version of Dynamics, for example, then you would have that extra level of granularity, because you could say that the on-premises sign-in has to happen through ADFS.
And a follow-up to that one there, just to throw you under the bus, potentially, hopefully not. Uh-huh. This applies to any of the services or just to the ones that we are working with. So say, for instance, I had Azure Active Directory synchronization turned on, and I was using that directory to federate and to talk to another third-party software as a service type offering. All the stuff here would apply as well?
Yes, everything would apply as well to everything.
So if this was tied up to go and talk to Salesforce.com as an example, using your own synchronized Azure Active Directory, if the user tried to log into that service, because it hits our end, it would say, oop, you got to do multi-factor authentication setup, and then kind of divert you over to finish off that security and then come back?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, let's take a very quick look at that. So
that is freaking awesome.
Yeah, it actually is. And so this is where it gets to be really freaking awesome. I'm going to go into the users that I've got inside of my directory here. We'll have a look for Heidi. So Heidi is just here. Let's get this into a good position. Okay, so Heidi's account is just here. Notice that she just signed on with a fake URL, usa.onmicrosoft.com. She's a cloud user. She just exists inside of the cloud. Dan is actually a user who, there we go, let's try that. Dan is a user who exists in our on-premises directory, and Dan has a at dx.msftlabs.com domain name. What's actually going to happen in Dan's case is we're not just going to do a sign-in for him through Azure AD. We're going to actually do the authentication for Dan through ADFS with our on-premises environment. So I'm going to show you exactly what that looks like just to tie it together. Let's go back to my demo PC and we'll close out this connection for Heidi. Let's go and sign on this time. We're going to sign on with Dan. So use another account. I do forget this account. Okay, so it's Dan at dx.msftlabs.com. Okay, immediately that I press the tab key, it's then going to redirect me for the authentication to my on-premises ADFS environment. So you can see, it's my on-premises environment. It says it's on-prem ADFS. Dan then types in his password. Dan then is authenticated. Oops, let's try that again. Dan is then authenticated through his on-prem AD, and then he's redirected back to Azure AD because we have actually enabled multi-factor authentication for Dan. So now the Azure AD service is going to make sure that we do a multi-factor auth for Dan, even though all of the authentication traffic for his password occurred through the on-premises environment, through ADFS. So I've just allowed that authentication, and here we go, straight in.
So that is hilarious.
It's kind of cool. It means that we can take an on-prem account, add multi-factor auth using Azure AD, And the setup for it actually requires us to deploy nothing additional on-prem. We just deploy the stuff inside of Azure. I'm just going to hit verify now and go back from here, because I don't want to set that up. So that allows us to do a whole bunch of really neat stuff. Once we've done that, all of our sign-ins are now going to require multi-factor authentication. So very, very neat that we can set that up, move through these very quickly. The next thing we can do is obviously self-service. So we set up self-service password reset. We can also do self-service profile changes. So they can edit their own Active Directory attributes. So for example, they can change their phone number, their email address, if that's something that you want them to be able to do. We can also do access requests, group management, automatically through self-service, through the cloud. So that says that once somebody's signed in, they can go and add themselves into another group, an AD security group, which has been set up to allow authorized or just anybody to add themselves into a group. That's kind of awesome because it means that we can take away one of the biggest kind of help desk calls that you're ever going to get. People saying, hey, I need access to this particular SharePoint site urgently. Please, can you add me into this group? Actually, we don't have to have the help desk taking those calls anymore. Users can just do it themselves. So let's go and take a very quick look at doing that.
I just want to clarify, this is with Azure Active Directory or Azure Active Directory Premium offerings? Is there a difference between the two of them anymore? Or they still exist?
No, nope, they actually do still exist, different offerings. Azure AD on its own has a set of capabilities, which includes the ability, for example, to set up groups which, let's get this right. Azure AD on its own allows you to be able to authenticate, do all that kind of stuff. It doesn't let you do the group membership mm-hmm. side of things. It also allows you to be able to connect up to other applications. So we can connect up to 10 applications in the standalone version of AD without adding AD Premium. Or you can connect out to up to 10 and have that federation approach mm-hmm. Happening in place. But there's a whole bunch of different things. There's about 40 different things which are 40 different features which are available in AD or not available in AD Premium. So there's actually a link at the end of this which will include all of the details on exactly what's in each particular SKU offering.
So I won't test you on all what those.
Yeah, because there's a whole bunch. But that's a couple that are that come off the top of my head. So if we go into approvals just here, we'll see that there are no approvals for this user. But if we had added this user into a group, and this user was the owner of a group, then they would potentially have approvals to go through. However, if we go into groups, what we'll see is that we can create our own group inside of Azure AD, and we can also list all of the other groups that are available to join. So if I want to, for example, go and join the HR folks group, I can go in there and join the group. It's then going to pop up, and it's going to send a request over to the owner of that particular group.
Okay, so there's still a level of a check and balance in place?
Yeah,
absolutely. If that option is enabled and available.
Yeah, but it means that the admin doesn't have to do it. It can be the actual person inside of the business that actually is doing the correct level of admin over their own groups.
We had another quick question just come in here, just as we're waiting for this next one to come up, is are the voice prompts that are available with multi-factor authentication, mm-hmm. are they localized to be different languages?
Yeah, we have them in 25 different languages out of the box, so that's kind of nice. The free version of MFA, say the free version, the version that's bundled with, say, Office 365, you just have those 25 language packs. However, Azure AD Premium, you can customize all of the voice messages that your users will hear. So instead of it saying, hey, you've reached the Microsoft Verification Service, it could say, you've reached the Contoso Verification Service. And you can change them into any languages that you want to in that case.
Or you could even have nice Canadian versions of them too, eh?
You could, eh?
No?
Yeah, absolutely. We can always have nice localized language there. It's kind of handy to be able to do.
Nice.
So self-service group membership, can add ourselves into groups. We can also go into profile, and we can go and change our password. In this case, we'll be able to go through the verification options and verify for doing password reset. We can also register for self-service password reset if that's not something which we're forcing our users to do, as we are in this case. And we can change some other details as well. So it allows us to have this complete self-service option without having to deploy, again, a ton of stuff on-prem in order to enable it. Let's go back to my deck again for a second. The other thing that we can do very, very simply is turn on pre-integrated SaaS applications. So we've already kind of mentioned this a couple of times. The first one is that, first kind of big point to pull out here is that we decided that it wasn't just enough to be able to integrate with our own applications. So Dynamics, Office 365, etc. And we've been out and we've actually integrated with over 2,500 SaaS applications.
Pre-integrated.
Just a few.
And they're not all ours either.
Yeah, they're very definitely not all ours. You can actually integrate with all of these on screen, as well as thousands of others.
So I could make sure that all my users get their own personal Netflix videos and everything else.
Yeah, if you wanted to, that would be an option for you. Yeah.
Nice.
So let's just go ahead very quickly and do exactly that. Go back into this environment for a second, go into my admin user, and we'll go up here to applications. So within here, you can see that I've already set up connections to a few little applications. So we automatically do Exchange Online and SharePoint Online. But you can see here, I've set up connections to Zendesk, I've set up connections to DocuSign, CrashPlan, and to a couple of other sites. So all I have to do this, I'm going to have to add at the bottom of the screen, and add an application from the gallery. But note there's two other options here. You can either develop something internally, or we can do something that I'll mention in a moment. We're going to take one from the gallery. Oh, I'm actually wrong. It's not quite 2,500 applications. We're still 50 short. So if anybody can suggest the next 50, there is actually a website you can go to make those suggestions.
Just as a point of reference, in case you watch this in recorded form, this is as of December 4th, 2014, because this changes.
Yeah, every time I present this, that number's gone up.
Nice.
So it's kind of nice. So I can go in here and say, I want to add access to Jive. And I say next. Okay, so adding access to Jive, what do I need to do? Well, I need to decide first how I'm going to provide access to Jive. So how do we want to configure single sign-on? I can do password single sign-on, or I can do Azure AD single sign-on. I'm going to do password single sign-on. So this is essentially going to create a password vault. I can then configure user provisioning. So I say what my Jive admin username is, what my Jive admin password is, and what the URL is for my Jive tenant. And then finally, I'll have to assign my users that are going to be signed on. So what's actually going to happen in the background there is that we're going to publish out a connection to all of our users that we've assigned access to. When those users attempt to connect to the Jive service, we're going to automatically create them an account on Jive. And then we're going to give them a new password, put the password into the Azure AD password vault, and then allow them access to the Jive service by unlocking the password in the password vault when they sign into Azure AD.
So basically, it's selective users, and it's not their credentials that they would normally sign on to their corporate environment. It's a different password that's managed by the service.
It is, but the only password they'll know is their corporate password.
That is
so it
awesome.
Completely saves it. So we get single sign-on, single password for all of these users. So let's go and have a quick look at what that looks like from a user's point of view. Move back to my demo PC. I go to applications, and we can see that Actually, we have, this is Dan's user account, and he's got access to DocuSign. So he goes into DocuSign. It's going to fail at that point. Okay, so what Dan would normally see there is he would sign in directly into DocuSign. And the reason that he can't do that is because my DocuSign subscription has expired. Because strangely enough, I don't pay for a DocuSign subscription for my demo environment for the whole time. So Dan would normally just literally sign into the portal once, he'd go off and access that application. Exactly the same way as if I go to Exchange, it's just going to take me directly into Dan's Office 365.
So this solves the problem of having like hundreds of user accounts inside your organization that have their own individual accounts with all these different services that you don't have any way of helping out or working with at all.
Yeah.
Unless you're now using this type of service.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
And you get complete single sign-on to everything. So the very final thing that I want to just show you is this one last thing that this is capable of doing. So if we go back to the admin portal here, and we'll go back to my applications. One of the applications that I've set up is this one here, Intranet. Let's go and have a quick look at this. This is actually using the Azure application proxy, which is a reverse proxy type of approach. So I can take something on-premises, in this case my on-premises intranet, and actually publish it securely out to my users who are connecting over the internet. So what do I actually have to do? Well, the first thing, I have to enable the connector. Then I have to go download the connector and install it onto a machine inside of my environment. So I've downloaded it already. Let's go ahead and just show you what we have to do. The very complex setup for configuring this on-prem. Back on my sync server, reusing my sync server for another option. And here I've got some PowerShell, hopefully. Let's just go and edit this. Whoops. edit. It's going to open up the PowerShell IRC, and it's going to show us the complicated PowerShell, which is required in order to configure the app proxy.
Nice.
You can see it's two lines. That's it. All this actually does, once I run it, and I'm not running in Elevated, I've got a little problem here, so it's not going to let me do that. All it's going to do is ask me for my global admin creds for Azure AD. Once I've done that, it's then registered this sync server with the Azure AD service. Back to my admin, I can then assign the users access. And this is what this actually looks like for the end user. So we'll go back ahead to Dan's machine and go and click on intranet. Now, having clicked on intranet, what's actually happening is Dan's traffic has now been sent from Azure AD over SSL down to my on-premises connector, that sync server, and then through to the on-premises server that we're contacting, i.e. intranet. So hopefully, in a couple of seconds' time, our intranet site page is about to load. Kind of white at the moment. Hopefully it's going to go to
nice.
The blue page.
While we're waiting
second.
For that one to come back, Ken has a question there. If users can add themselves to groups, how do we keep them from adding themselves to groups that we don't want them added to?
Ah, so they don't add themselves to every group. A group has to actually be set up for self-service enrollment.
So obviously you're not going to be enabling schema admins as an example.
Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely not going to go and do that. You have to actually create a group that is then enabled for self-service enrollment. So not just going to be added to every single group.
And we're getting close to wrapping up on this particular session, but I want to give you a chance to talk about a jumpstart that you're going to be doing that possibly talks more about that.
Yes. Yeah,
not
absolutely.
Not that particular item, but you know, about the stuff we've been looking at today.
Yeah, absolutely. On Monday, I'm doing a jumpstart on the Microsoft Virtual Academy.
Monday, what's the date?
Monday 9th. Yep.
December 9th, 2014, because you might be watching this in replay mode.
You may well be. Yeah, we're going to be doing a jumpstart. If you are watching in replay mode, guess what? You can replay the jumpstart.
You got it.
So go ahead and go and do that. We're going to be doing a jumpstart on managing iOS and Android, and lots of what we've just been talking about with Azure AD is going to be used as part of that. Kind of taking a while to get to that that app, and in fact, we have a little problem with it. So let's just minimize that. Go back to the slide deck for a second, just to wrap up. So if you want more information about what I've just been talking about, very easy to connect with me. Just go to sma.co/connect-with-me, and I'm quite happy to answer any more questions that we get offline as well.
There's been a couple of little points here. I just want to make sure that we summarize and wrap up with this individual one. Azure Active Directory, as we stated at the very beginning, is not a replacement for your on-premises Active Directory. It is designed to be doing authentication and the stuff that you've seen today. Mm-hmm. It does not replace your on-premises Active Directory. You can supplement it, it can add to it and get a lot of really goodness and integrate back again.
Yep.
It does not replace it. So don't worry about
Absolutely
that.
No.
It's definitely not going away. It also does not act as a replacement or a backup from a disaster recovery perspective. So if you lose your on-premises Active Directory, Azure Active Directory isn't going to be able to authenticate your machines and your servers and everything else inside your premises. So be aware of that as well. Those are two big things that came up on the Twitter stream. I want to make sure that we addressed.
Yeah.
Is that one there?
Yeah, absolutely. Not a replacement, not a DDoS solution. It is just for what it's for, which is authentication for new software as a service type applications. We also had one very last question from Phil.
Sure.
Please can you clarify, as I believe MFA for on-prem AD requires ADFS. It will not just work with sync. Kind of.
I love it. Were you a consultant in a past life?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a kind of a strange way of asking that question. So if you've got synced users, then you can enable MFA for the synced users. If you've got ADFS in place, then you can enable MFA for the ADFS synced users. Either which way, your users are still going to be synced up to Azure AD if you want to be able to use the MFA service from Azure AD. There is also the ability to download Microsoft Multifactor Authentication Server and run MFA in your own on-premises environment as well. Haven't talked about that at all in any of what we've just done.
And with that, I do have to say thank you very much, Simon. We are out of time. I appreciate you stopping by and showing us a lot of this Azure Active Directory goodness and Active Directory Premium goodness up in the world. Don't forget, he does have a jumpstart coming up on December the 9th, which will be a live event and activity. You can go off and see that. Get more details over here, aka.ms/emmwebcast, in case you're interested. If you're watching this in replay mode, you will be able to see it on replay at MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com at some point in the near future. And with that, I've got to wrap this one up because we've got some awesomeness known as Azure websites coming up right after the break. Join us then.